But again, we feel needy before the Lord. I feel always a sense of trembling. To presume to speak for our Lord. But I want to somehow exalt our Lord today. And so I ask again for your prayers. I don't think I'm going to write it on the board here this morning, but I'm going to state it like this. Let us reason together. Y'all probably know kind of where that comes from. Over in Isaiah, it says, "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord." And I'm pulling that phrase out of that verse. I know it's out of even context. But it's something that the Lord stated. It has more attached to that phrase, but he said that phrase. And he said that phrase to us as humans. He gave us minds to think and to reason, to explore. And he invites us to come close to him and reason. So he says, "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord." So I want to turn over into Isaiah, the first chapter. And read a little bit of the surrounding part of that text. That text is found in the 18th verse. But I'm going to go up a little higher. It describes here some of the things that were going on in that area. People that weren't truly worshiping the Lord. It seems like they had gotten themselves. Seems like they had gotten themselves perhaps a little. They were going through the motions. They were going through the actions. They had learned perhaps well the law that they were supposed to do. I'm going to start at the 10th verse. "Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom, and give ear unto the law of God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is a multitude of your sacrifices?" Sounds like they were doing what they probably thought they were supposed to do. But God says, to what purpose? What is it doing? What is it affecting in your life? "What purpose is a multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings." Well, Lord, didn't you command the burnt offerings? And they were doing that. But here, something got in the way that it wasn't the burnt offering that the Lord was wanting. He wanted something else to come from that. Something, he wanted there to be a nearness brought somewhere in this process where they did it from a heart. They thought about the wages of their sinful ways. And they saw the sacrifice. And it was supposed to remind them of their soul's position before the Lord and how they should humble themselves. Excuse me. They should humble themselves under the mighty hand of God. And it was supposed to prepare their heart for an humble presentation before the Lord. But they had gotten so used to it. Went out to the flock and said, "I think that might do. Well, we've got to do it. You know, once a year, we got to go do this. Here, Passover, remember, and they thought they likely would roll back in their mind, maybe a cursory glance back, and said, "Well, we were told about that time when our fathers were delivered out of the land of Egypt, and it's supposed to mean something to me, and it kind of does." But it didn't have much impact on them as an individual. And somewhere they had learned well the pattern. And they came now to this place, and the Lord is confronting them. He said, "Let's talk about this one." He said, "What purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, saith the Lord? I'm full of burnt offerings of rams, fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of the goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. They've become a stench to me. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity. Even the solemn meetings, your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are trouble unto me. I'm weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I'll hide mine eyes from you." Oh, Lord, have mercy. I don't ever want to descend into a meaningless pattern where I'm just doing this out of a traditional past. I don't ever want to get to that place that has lost its impact to my soul. I don't ever want to gather on these benches and not be able to sing the songs and the songs that we sang this morning. And I don't require you to be touched as much as what. You don't have to pattern after me. But I don't ever want to come here and sing those songs without sometimes the Lord just comes by and just melts my heart. Folks, if we start losing that, we've lost it all. We can sing the same songs and even preach the same word and hold emphatically to something that might be precious. But if it doesn't, do something down here. I'm afraid God's going to come by and say, "To what purpose your solemn assemblies?" I'm not meaning to say this in an accusatory way, but I'm saying it. I'm saying, Lord, help us to be revived in our souls this morning. I'm not doing this for you folks. I'm doing it because I love my Lord.
That's right.
And when I find you doing it because you love the Lord, we can sit here together and we can feel the brotherhood. We can feel the warmth of our hearts.
Amen.
And nobody's going to have to prime the pump to try to get you to come. You just come. Because it's in your heart. Oh, let's go. And it's not just a solemn assembly. It's then one where we're sitting at the feet of Jesus. Oh, you young ones, I'm glad to see you here this morning. And I, as you walk with the Lord, I hope you get to it a little faster than I have in life. But I learned it's kind of slow, I think. But as I've walked with the Lord, this has just gotten more precious as I go.
True.
I wish I was a lot farther down the road than I have gotten. But I thank the Lord for every step that He got me to take. And this morning, these songs and people, oh, I'm telling you, they began to just burn in my soul. And I felt like He was sitting over there beside me. You ever had those times? And no, you don't have to feel just like I do this morning, but when you get those times, it's just enjoying. They're precious. Oh, one time I was quite troubled about things. I remember going off back in the pasture. This farmer headed off by myself. And I began to talk with her. You may have heard this story before, but it still is a sweet memory in my mind. And I was up on top of this little hill, and I started praying, and pretty soon just the Lord stood there. And I wasn't, did you know you can pray with your eyes wide open? You can even pray standing. My heart was bowing in His presence, but He was standing here and I was standing here and we were talking. Tears flowing down my face because He was just feeding my soul. He was talking to me about me. And about the whole picture that I... Did you know the Lord wants that a lot more than He wants all these other things? I'm not saying some of these other teachings and things. I'm not saying those are bad or wrong. But have relationship with God. You'll be able to understand some of the teachings a lot better if you have first relationship. It means more. Instead of it just being dotting I's and crossing T's, now it becomes alive. And the reason behind it becomes real to my soul. And I don't feel... I'm doing it for a very different reason now. I'm doing it because I love Him. And His commandments aren't grievous. The Lord had a controversy. He had what word should I really use here? He wasn't pleased with these people, though they seemed to be doing everything according to... They were doing their sacrifices. Perhaps they took the lamb and from the flock and went there and did that. But it didn't change them inside. They weren't... That connection that God wants with His children was none of His little children. They just brought the sacrifices, but none of them reached up their hand and said, "Abba, Father, help me." They just did it and went home and kept on ignoring the voice of God. You know, we are privileged in this era that we live in. Sorry. We are privileged. I believe that the Lord did something very special when He sent His Son Jesus on this earth, and He's our sacrifice for our sin. That's a special era. I've never had to do this in a pulpit before. But I remember. But did you know there was a man, and more than one, that before Jesus ever came along, there was a man that walked with God? I've heard people call him Enoch, and I typically call him Enoch. And I don't know how, you can call him whatever you want to. God called him His friend. He walked with him. And he took him. And there's not a lot known about his family. There's not a whole lot known about... He just appears a couple little blurbs in the Bible. But this is told about him, that he walked with God. If any could have done that clear back then, surely we can today. Can we not? Not only can we, it's a pleasure to. Such a fulfillment of our soul when we walk with the Lord. So let's return some to this. Things that God spoke to these people that were problems. You spread forth your hand. When you do that, I'll hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are... What's a problem? Your hands are full of blood. Something's wrong in what you're doing. Excuse me, y'all. Sorry. I believe there's enough evidence in the scripture. There's some ideas almost that God's grace is so abounding that once he saves you, it's just a free gift that he gives. And once he saves you, you just kind of go on as you did before. God's grace is wonderful. And his mercy endures forever. He's a wonderful God. But he's also a God that corrects our faults. He's not an absentee father. He doesn't just bequeath... give a grace and then say, and the grace, the only quality of grace is it's just given to you. It's an effective grace. It's something that teaching us that doing what? For the grace of God hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and these carnal lusts, these other things that would war against the godliness and spirit, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live without blood on our hands. That's what he said here, didn't he? They had blood on their hands. They had something was wrong in their spirit and what they were doing. This relationship that God intends for us to have, like Enoch walked with God, God would have us do that today. And in that process of walking with the Lord and the grace that he gives to us, the light, it brings light, it brings understanding, it brings clarity, and it matures us. He feeds our souls that we might grow. And as we grow and walk in the light as he is in the light, it does something for us. And it changes us. I mentioned something a while ago about we carry the DNA of our father. I know that might be a scientific term today, but I would bring it back. We begin to look like our father. We carry those characteristics. As we grow in him, we start looking more like him. I carry some of the characteristics of my ancestry. Some of you remember Brother Ralph Beasley. He was my grandpa. There are some things I do a whole lot like him. I carry some of the DNA that's passed down. Folks, the Lord wants us to take on the characteristics of our Father and allow that to develop in you and I, that we not have blood on our hands. So he says, he gives this counsel to those who are found wanting, that are found needy. He says,
wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Do you know why he said to do that? I believe there's more than one reason why he said to do that. One of them is just ceasing to do evil. It cuts off a lot of harm in our life. If we just do what's right, you know, there's blessings that goes along with doing things that we know is good. If I choose to be ruled by carnal meanness and hatred and envy and malice and strife, if you sow to the wind, you probably reap the whirlwind. But if you sow to righteousness, there's a very different seed that's being sowed there with a different, very different result, very different fruit that grows from that. And so the Lord in His love says, cease to do evil. He said it for our good. And another reason why He says it, because He's not asking us to do something we can't do. He says it, He asks us to cease to do evil because we can. We have the right and authority to say no to the devil. James put exclamation mark over there, and he said, when he said, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. So the Lord said, wash you, make you clean. Put away evil from your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. This is a different mindset the Lord's wanting them. It seemed like they all got very selfish and very self-centered, and they did exactly what they thought, just the minimum what the Lord wanted. We just did it because it was a pattern. It was a long-held history that we had done. So we'll just do it. But the effect on our soul is negligible at most. And he said, cease to do those bloody things. Turn in a different way. Come, relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. This judging the fatherless doesn't mean to command them and say, all right, you're doing wrong, so I need to judge you. This judgment means a righteous judgment, one of compassion, one of taking their part. These are people, the fatherless needs somebody to reach and give them some help. Folks, I'm troubled in our world today about so many children being born where the father's not in the home. I'm troubled about that. I've seen, and I'm stepping aside a little bit from here, but I'm just making an observation of where we live today. I'm talking about judging the fatherless. I don't think we do well when we don't reach out and offer something to this generation. We have a whole lot of people, maybe not as much down here, but you get over, you get into areas, high population areas, and you're going to find a lot of boys and young men that don't have a guiding force in their life. Sometimes this is the only guiding force they have, is a phone, and it's not a good influence. Lord help us. I've had this desire that we can provide them something. I thought about just taking and having some good Christian men come together with purpose and inviting some of these boys to come out. Come out on a Saturday. Let's make a breakfast together. And after we have breakfast, let's start building a portable storage unit. Very practical things, what I'm talking about here now. Let's do this, and I'm going to teach you how to cut a board. I'm going to teach you how to read a measuring tape. I'm going to teach you how to put shingles on. I'm going to teach you how to wire this. I'm going to teach you something purposeful of life. And in the process, you're going to find a man, a godly man around you. He's not going to curse, not going to hit you. He's going to teach you. Folks, judge. See what I'm saying? There's a way to judge them. Not harshly, but give them. Judge their needs and minister. I'm sorry I went down a road that had a little personal feeling of mine. But I think it's something the Lord wants us to care enough about our people around us. that we don't let blood just gather on our hands. Come now, let us reason together. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I want to, here at this moment, reason again. I want to reason here together. Perhaps us here today, us humans, have always tried to find a definition to what we read in the Scripture, and we've applied definition throughout the years. There's theological thought, theological frameworks that have been applied, human creeds that have been devised that have many times served to divide people. And I'm not saying that all the human thought, the way they've wrestled with things that we read in the Scripture, I'm not saying that's all wrong. In fact, there's in many of them, there's elements of truth in them. But I'm not so much interested in what everybody else has thought paths that they went down. I'm interested in sitting before the Lord and asking His righteous character to seep into my thinking, seep into my very DNA of who I am. It'll help me understand how to walk where I am today. So here it mentions about that you refuse and rebel. And I want to think a little bit at this juncture. You know, we have this term called sin, don't we? And quite frankly, we've got to admit there's a wide difference of a wide variation of way different peoples will put definition to that word sin. It's a wide area. Some will call almost everything sin. You know, if somehow I had a fleeting thought that wasn't quite right, that's a sin. Or if I didn't do something that I didn't recognize that I needed to do, and I didn't even know about it until later, they said that was a sin of omission. You just simply omitted. You didn't. And then there's a sin of commission. That's another term that you'll find that we committed. We intentionally, we did it. I committed this. I'm not real interested in every human definition. I'm interested in God's. And so I sat before my Lord and I said, Lord, how do you see this? And I read things like this that we've read here this morning, and I start seeing the character, the reasonable character of our Lord, the invitation. He's a corrective Lord. He very strongly he pointed out the place that they were wrong. And do you think he said that in a way that he said, I found you wanting to the point that your judgment and you're cut off right now? Do you think he said that just to cut them off, or did he say that to give them invitation to correct? Our Lord is this way. He's interested in correcting us. And he gave them clear instruction. He said, here, listen to me. And he said, the things that you're doing, I'm tired of it. So, had he cut them off yet? It doesn't sound like he did. He had, but he was giving them instruction and asking them. He said, these are things in our minds. You know, I think we have this element at work sometimes that we have ideas that were written in other languages, and when we try to bring that idea over, translate into English, sometimes we have a word box that just encompasses more, less specific than what it was in the original. Well, they may have had different expressions that was more specific to... Come, let's reason a little bit here today. When I raised my children, I'll just say me, but I'll let you go down the thought in your mind. When I raised my children, there were some times that in raising them, I would give them perhaps some instruction of what I wanted them to do. And because of the immaturity or the place in life they were, I thought they perceived what I said, and maybe they thought they perceived what I said. And I came back later on and they didn't do what I said. Did they disobey? Well, they didn't do what I said. But then I asked them about it. I said, "Well, Daddy, I thought I did. I thought this is what you said." "No, oh, I'm sorry, son. I didn't make that clear." Or it may have simply been that they were too young to understand well. They weren't... One of the writers in the New Testament said, was it Jesus that said, "I have many things that I want to tell you." But what did he say right after that? "You're not able to bear it yet. You're not there yet." So was it a sin of omission that they weren't able to bear it? Was it something that separated them from the Lord? I'm talking about our definition, how we frame the ideas of sin in our mind. Now, my child that didn't get done what I had told him to do, and I came back and realized it was a breakdown of communication or ability, and maybe I was saying I was requiring more of them than what they were really able to at that point, I took that all into my mind and I thought, "Oh, the child's doing the best they can." And there was something here, and I treat that as maybe a teaching moment or a training. Treat it in a very kind, merciful way. But then, here's another way. If I give some instruction and I see... I suppose we all have seen it. When you give a child an instruction that they didn't really want to do something and they kind of... All right. Then you come back later, and either they're dilly-dallying around not, or they just decided, "I'm not going to do it." That's different, isn't it? Isn't it? Don't we see the difference? You know, when Eve took of that fruit, there was some deception going on there. But they knew they weren't supposed to. And they did it anyway. What do we call that? Rebellion and sin. And there is... I want to be careful how I choose my words here. Infraction. There is an act that we can do that's not true obedience. But it's not one I was trying my best, and I didn't get there. I did miss the mark. That's another part, missing the mark. But it doesn't carry the element of intentionally missing the mark. You know, I can shoot. Perhaps, have y'all shot bows? Some of you young men probably have. And you set up a target over there, and you drew back, and you fired. You sent the arrow downrange. And, that dropped 6 inches. More. Sometimes I miss the whole thing. But I didn't turn loose of it until I thought it was going to go right. A lot of difference between that and just, I don't care, fling it to the air. I'm talking about our spiritual approach to the Lord. It's very different to the Lord if we give it our best and still miss the mark. I believe he comes by and gets a hold of us and says, "Child, I really appreciate your effort. There's a reason why you missed, and let me work with that." I'm just telling you, that's the God that I know. Some of us can get the idea in our mind that the God that we are serving, we have to be so uptight and so rigid that if I intend to do it right and I still don't get it done, that he's saying, "All right, I'm done with you. I'm tired of it." There are some human fathers that will be like that, but not our Heavenly Father. That's not the one I found. That's not the one I'm serving. And I really want, young folks, I want you to understand. And you may still wrestle with your conscience on some of this, but when I was young, I had some, and I began to walk with the Lord, there were times that my perception of my Lord was of one of, he was sitting there just waiting for the opportunity to cut me off. I was wrong. He was still. And I remember one time when I had met something like that, and the Lord had saved me, and it was so precious. Oh, the change that came in my life from that moment to this moment was just fantastic. The weight that rolled off my shoulder, it was a real case of salvation. And not everybody's got to have it just like I had it. But it was a special moment that still marks a grand stake in my life back there. Well, as I began to walk with the Lord, you've got to put in practice what you know. And as I began to walk with the Lord, I came across an incident in my life that wasn't done perfectly. It wasn't done all that well. And I was wrestling. I thought, have I lost my salvation, that precious gift that the Lord had given me? Have I thrown it away? And I remember I was down in the dairy barn milking cows and tears flowing down my eyes. And I was talking with the Lord. And I was just saying, "Lord, just tell me where I am. If I'll go clear back at the beginning and start it all over again." See, my heart was broken. And I was assuming that he was looking on me with angry eyes. And I was just pouring out my heart. He didn't even quote me a scripture, but he just said something to me. He just said, "My son." And it broke the power of the accusation. And he showed me a little bit of his character that I began to learn. Folks, we serve a Lord that cares about you and me. We serve a Lord that wants to correct his children. He wants to teach us. We bring him very raw material. Very immature children. We're babes in Christ. But what we should always, along with that, bring to him is a heart that's perfect toward my God. "Lord, I really am desperate to serve you. I want to with all my heart. And even in my ignorance, my inability, a lot of things that I don't, my mind, my understanding doesn't encompass. I'm too young in you to even get it. And I'm grateful you understand that, Lord. So thankful that you know where I am. You know what to require of me. And you're merciful and you're long-suffering. And you take me in my incompleteness and my inabilities. And you just teach me." Oh, what a Father we have this morning.
I think it's important for us to recognize and call it, sometimes we must attach the word perhaps, and we find it attached in the scripture sometimes, sin that encompasses a lot more than this. I believe that the Lord, when we rebel against Him intentionally, there's something we have to deal with there. That's something like Adam and Eve, it cut them off from that type of communion. They didn't have that same communing in the garden, walking and talking with the Lord like it. That, it's serious. That's a very rebellion when I intend to not do it right. There's something more than just this other. We have words we try to attach to this other. Sometimes we call it mistakes. There's all kinds of words we try to attach to it. But I want to tell us today, don't rebel against the Lord. Don't intentionally walk against Him. When your heart's still to walk with the Lord, His heart's still for you to walk with Him. He'll reach down there and grab you by the hand. What does a righteous man do? Remember, he stumbled 7 times, a righteous man. But he got up, that righteous man. Didn't mean to. He stumbled. I don't know anybody that intended to stub his toe on something and fall headlong. But sometimes we do, don't we? Without intending to. And that righteous man gets up. He said, I'm going to keep on going. Now there's some people, they don't stumble at all. They just turn around and walk the other way. Because they meant to. Let that not be our story. And the Lord will let you walk. Remember the rich young ruler? Remember, he had such an opportunity in front of him. And it was treasure in heaven was ahead of him. He said, You can come and follow me. You can come and you'll have treasure in heaven. And I believe Jesus meant every word that he told that man. And the man was unwilling and sorrowful and walked away from heaven's best. And I want to encourage us, don't carry that attitude of rebellion. Have an attitude, and perhaps there's sometimes he'll give us instructions that I don't understand at the moment, but have an attitude of a heart and say, Father, I really don't understand, but I want to walk with you. Continue to teach me. Shine your light upon my understanding and give the Lord time to work with you, because sometimes he'll want to tell you something that you're not able to bear yet, and he'll still hold it back. He'll give you enough to pique your interest, but he'll hold it back until you're ready to receive. That's the mercy of our Lord. Again, it's just come, let's reason together. I want to point out the reasonableness, the personal interaction that he has with us. I intended to go over to James 5. And I actually intended to walk through all of James 5. But I get too tedious, I think, when I start some of this. And I know I don't have time to go through James 5. But I want to, perhaps I'll leave it here. Because when we think about walking with the Lord, I wanted to mention about the terminology of affliction. I can't get into it quite. It talks about when he's afflicted. Did you know when he said that in that context, he probably wasn't talking about sick people. I'm not saying it couldn't encompass that, but I probably wasn't, because the next thing that he contrasted with is if anybody's joyful. Affliction was up here, which he was probably saying if somebody
If anybody's sad among you, let him pray. That's what it said. Let him deal with the Lord. Begin to talk with the Lord. Let the presence of the Lord come near to begin to wash over your soul, give you direction in life. Oh, what a precious thing we have, that this advantage of talking with the Lord. And if anybody's I forget the term now, not joyful, it was, had something to mean like that. Let him sing songs. Mary, thank you. Mary, let him sing songs. Psalms is what it said there. But let him, folks, I want to tell you, I want to be on that side because I like singing songs. If anybody's married, let him pour out of him. Just let the joy of the Lord be expressed. Then it did say something about sickness. And again, I'm not going to get into all of that. Except the Lord always wants us to bring the things that we experience in life. He wants us to learn to bring that to Him. When you're sick, our mind should first go, I want the Lord. Whatever sickness it might be, I know that some of us, I kind of grew up on a farm where sickness was sometimes a matter of course. We just kind of had it and you went through it. And you got better. Round of flu, round of whatever. We didn't have these new fancy names for everything back then. I got sick, got a fever, got a little virus, we got something. And now we've got to call it COVID or something else. And I'm not saying it's not COVID, don't get me wrong. But I'm saying we seem like we've developed a lot of different titles. And I grew up in the environment, you got sick and you just went through it. But I thank the Lord to have us to allow the moments that we feel anxious in our spirit, whether it be, I'm just feeling a little afflicted, I feel a little depressed. Or if I'm feeling sick, I'm feeling troubled in my spirit, I've got things going on with me I don't really know what it is, but the signs aren't good, and the devil's painting dark pictures, and they might be true, I don't know. And they may not, a lot of times they're not true. But yet I have it to deal with, it's here. There is a lot of options. There's a lot of things that are out there, paths that we could take. Let me tell you the first path that the Lord wants His children to take. The first path is to bring it to Him and say, Lord, I'm anxious. I got this going on. Call for the elders of the church. Let's get people involved. That has long been actually part of my fault. I just went through it. And a lot of times didn't need to tell anybody else. But sometimes when things are resting heavy on us, folks, when it's good for us to get other people, brothers, sisters, pray for me. I'm struggling with some things, would you? You know what that does? You've heard the verse in Scripture says that we be knit together in love. How can we be knit together if we don't share together? And don't take time to share together? How can this knitting together take place if when I'm in trouble, that I just, and this is something the Lord is having to work with me on. Because it's a lot more comfortable for me to be over in my corner suffering by myself without telling you. But the Lord, I'm not talking about just spilling all your gut. You know what I'm saying. There's a balance in it. But I think the Lord would have us to bear one another's burdens. And in doing so, we're fulfilling the law. There is, and the way it's being fulfilled is that we're truly loving one another. I love my neighbor as myself. And anyway. So, call for the elders of the church. And they begin to pray. We all get under a burden together and we bear one another's burdens and we uplift and encourage and inspire and we take it to the Lord and we ask His direction. I'm going to say something that I don't want you to hear in any way accusatory. I'm going to simply acknowledge that I see it. Is that today it seems like, and I do it too, I use it, it's not wrong. I get something going on and sometimes I plug in those symptoms to the internet. I understand. And then for some reason we don't plug it into the brotherhood. If any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let's come together. We're supposed to be supportive and encouraging and prayerful for each other. I think it's the way the Lord would have us to handle that. I never was able to really understand from my mindset the 2000s. Looking back and trying to figure out what let him anoint him with oil. And I never did feel like there was magical properties to that oil that I, little dab on the forehead. And I've said, Lord, I don't know if I'm even doing this right. In fact, there have been times that in my prayer, after we've done that, I said, Lord, please accept my ignorant ways. And I'm really trying to obey you, Lord. But I'm bringing my precious brother or sister here to you and asking you, Lord, honor our feeble attempt to try to obey you, Lord. I'm doing all I know how in earnestness. I'm asking you, Lord, to look down. So I don't know what all that means. I'm not willing to tell you today I do because I still don't know what all that means. But I'm going to try to obey the Lord. And I'm willing to try to learn what those things mean. What I'm saying is that we all should always carry ourselves in this hunger for the Lord. That I bring before the Lord all that I'm wrestling with, whether it's spiritual, whether it's physical, all these things that I'm going through, my first order of business is to come to my Lord and ask Him for guidance. And folks, if we cast that aside, we're going to lose something very, very precious. Oh, the Lord may lead you to the path before you, we've got the Lord involved. Get the Lord involved. And wherever the Lord leads you, I love the counsel that Mary, the mother of Jesus, gave to those folks at the wedding. Jesus was kind of saying, that's not really my business here. And his mother walked away and said, whatever he says, do, just do it. That's good counsel for all of us. And the thing is, he wants to talk with his dear children. I went on beyond what I meant to. Ask the Lord to bless each one of us. I believe the Lord wants to take us where we are today. And I don't want to minimize. But I'm going to say it like this. I hate to break it to you, but you're not perfect. The Lord still wants to. He still wants to take us and lead us from where we are now, that we might grow in His grace and His power and might. Pray for me. I want to serve Him.